Okay, now we have the recording. I would like to bring the Otter Rock Water District budget meeting for 5/24/2022 to order at 6:09. And we'll do roll call. Elliker is here. Cutler.
Here, yes.
Okay, Grace.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Stan.
Here.
Joni.
Here.
Okay. We have six participants. That gives us our quorum and voting ability. We have no one from the public here yet. So let's see if we can wrap this up. We have talked about a number of rate fee changes last time. And I updated the spreadsheet for revenue on that. Vacation rental additional fee or rate. The water off and on service increased, and late fees. Any feedback from the group on the vacation rental?
Well, since I'm the one that brought that up in the first place 6 weeks ago, the Lincoln County considers those short-term rentals to be commercial properties.
Well, and they don't code them as such, but yeah, well, they issue a business license.
Under, if you look at ordinances 487 and 490, like Beverly Beach did, that's why Beverly Beach found it convenient to apply those extra rates, because they fit right in with those two ordinances, 487 and 490.
Right.
But they didn't run into any conflict because that's what the county considers them. And that was my initial idea was, and I think I emphasized this a few times, for the board to contact Beverly Beach. Their document is obviously written by an attorney, the way it's worded. So everything's above board and it's legal. And by putting it in the residential water fees, maybe you think it is. I there's been several times with the board where I thought, why don't they contact an attorney? We're talking about $5,700 coming in over the next 12 months. I suppose it can go into vacation rentals or into residential, but if I had a property like that, I might throw a wrench in the whole deal by objecting to the fact. I don't know. There's a lot of great. Yeah.
I don't think it would be any difference. We could slide it in where we right now we have the ADUs add-on, which we had no, real problems. There weren't any. I don't think anybody contested that or took us to court on that one. I have a problem with the. Calling it commercial, because we do define commercial in our ordinance, and it's a process to amend an ordinance. I'm not up to doing that right now, especially since we were able to do the ADU previously. And we would say as licensed by Lincoln County. And I don't know if you're aware, but there's actually two more ordinances that the county has come up with since Beverly Beach did their bylaws that cover STRs.
Right.
So I think even by starting to name the ordinances, you risk the chance of, not having all of them named. But if you said as licensed by Lincoln County,
well, what they said was a water service connection for a commercial enterprise or business, including vacation rental property, is documented by Lincoln County Ordinances 487 and 490. And then they said, and any subsequent revisions or modifications.
Right, right. Okay. I missed that. Yeah.
they've covered themselves legally. I mean, they're set up.
Except they don't have another, I don't think they have another commercial definition, and we have other things in our ordinance that covers commercial. Right. And I don't, it doesn't matter, you know, where we code it, it matters that we're, you know, asking for that extra revenue from them.
Okay, well, for some reason, Beverly Beach felt it necessary to illegally spell it out.
Right, and
with the backing of the county. So yeah. I just figured it would be such an easy fit for the water district to slide right in there, contact them, say, hey, can we use the same wording and go with it? But that hasn't happened. And we actually have more money to make off of SDRs than their 10 or 11 properties. We've got 19.
Right.
I don't know. I feel my thought always is, no, if there's a question about anything, to get a legal opinion. And in contacting a board member from another type of district, he's the one that came up and suggested that I look into what's called an exception to an ordinance. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. I don't know if that even exists, but that was an idea that was floated to me, that you can work around an ordinance by coming up with what's called an exception. Whether that, I don't know.
I think that would probably take as long as it would be for us to amend the ordinance, but
Well, something that you said in your email this afternoon, Beth, was that you were concerned that we wouldn't be able to do that with this year because the process would take too long to amend the ordinance. Isn't okay to have the accommodation in the budget of a year when the ordinance isn't in place? Is that not okay?
No, it's that we have to have a rate increase hearing, and you have to
right.
be stating what you're doing.
And then you'd have to say what the ordinance is. And the thing with, you know, with the meters, there are a number of vacation rentals that are already have meters. And then we have in our budget enough money to do a number of other ones. And we could say we are going to meter all of the vacation rentals. So then the whole ordinance would be perfectly okay. Isn't that right?
I don't think so, because I think we would have to amend the ordinance to say including short-term rentals. I'm really uncomfortable too calling them commercial, because you know right now they're in, you know, the whole ballot measure is in the courts, and you could have land, you know, STR owners that contest that because the county doesn't consider them a commercial property. They aren't zoned as commercial. They're an exception that's given a special license. I don't know.
The whole 15 neighborhoods thing that's been going on for the last year and a half or 2 years is all about saying that if you're not a business zone, that if you're not zoned commercial, then you don't get to have a nightly rent. You don't get to have an STR there. So and calling them commercial, it just seems, I mean, they're not, and that's, I mean, they're not right. under a certain, they're not
definition
language. Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully they'll be gone in 4.5 years.
Yeah.
You know, if that measure, you know, is upheld.
So Mike, is it just a worry on your part that if it's called residential, that it might be contested?
Well, yeah, I can see some, I can understand all this, but there's a reason Beverly Beach did it the way they did it. And yeah, I've been suggesting for a while that it might be a good idea to contact them. They may say why they did it. they may say, yeah, we got a legal opinion that said you should need to do this, this, and this. I don't know. I'm not an attorney. I have no idea. My, I think, whole job, all of our job on the budget committee is to A, look out for how the money is spent or going to be spent, and B, to look out for the district so that there's not a problem that's going to cost us more money down the road. That's right. That's it.
Right.
If the board is going to go with residential, so be it. That's fine. But I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball and I'm not an attorney. So I don't know.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when I, you know, I was looking at the our rate sheet, which I'm sure you all have, it's and I'm wondering if we were going to charge an extra $30 for ADUs, why don't we charge an extra $30 for a vacation rental instead of $25?
Okay. And okay. Excuse my ignorance. ADUs are, what are they?
Accessory dwelling unit.
Which is defined as?
Well, we had it in there as a rented accessory dwelling unit.
So
it's a part of your house.
It's like a room over the garage apartment type thing.
Yeah. I would be okay with that if that would work. I really would. Too.
The 30?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, I think.
I mean, the money isn't so much, but if that's already in place, and then that would be then I wouldn't worry so much about
is it already in place?
Well, it was suspended, but we never as a board readdressed the rate structure, so it's in a suspended place now, but we can just plug in, you know, the STR instead of the accessory dwelling unit.
Well, it might be worth, again, going back to it, just it, I want to just say it again. Maybe we can put it in the budget and then do as Mike suggested, is take some of our legal resources and just check on that and make sure that we find out why, and also contact Beverly Beach and find out why they did it that way. And then if it doesn't work,
Yeah, if we want to raise fees anyway, we have to have a hearing. We have to have the notice. It has to go out by Friday.
Oh, yeah, and then we have to tell them why. Then we have to tell them why. Okay.
Yeah, I think, well, we can go ahead and include it. And then if we don't end up doing it by, you know, the end of, if we know by the end of June, we can, you know, take it out.
Yeah. Mike, would you feel okay about that? Oh, sorry, Sam.
What I would suggest is just, you know, I called Beverly Beach and talked to him a couple months ago, but I'm not on the board. So I don't, and it's the same when I called different contractors.
Did you talk to Tim?
No, I didn't talk to Tim. I talked to a woman, and it's like I say, it's been probably 7 or 8 weeks ago, and I can't remember, but she was very helpful. I asked her, I mean, I didn't realize they didn't have meters. I talked to her about different things, but I didn't go, like, I made sure I was presented as not on the board. I was just a member of the community. I was going to be on the budget committee and had some questions. But so I didn't delve into why did you write the ordinance the way you did? What were your thoughts? I'm fine with whatever the board wants to do. I just hope it's, in the long run, the right thing. And I'm quite frankly fine with $25. I mean, we've gone over this budget in the past. I don't know how much more. I guess $5 a month isn't going to be a lot for 19 properties over the course of a year. But, you know, I'll go along with the group. It's just...
I think that's just an example of what we could do. I think what Beth's saying, as licensed by the county, makes a lot of sense. They're saying we're only doing the people that's the short terms that are licensed by the county.
And right.
That it seems to me that covers the problem.
Well, that's what Beverly
Beach did. It seems like it.
That's what Beverly Beach did. That's what Beverly Beach did. They're not going around the neighborhood looking for other rentals. They're going by what the county says.
Right.
No, but it's the commercial that I have a problem with. Is calling them commercial. Let's redefine
because they're not commercial.
Residential unit. But anyway.
Technically.
Yeah, well, let's leave it in the residential then section. If Mike's okay with it and Stan's okay and Grace and Dick and
the board can discuss it too.
Sure.
True.
Okay, how about the late fees? Did anybody else do some looking around for late fees?
I think Dick was trying to say something, maybe. I'm not sure.
Dick?
Yeah. I just wanted to say, it was mentioned earlier, you know, if we could accelerate the installation of meters and do those at places that are going to be running, we'll know how the usage goes pretty quick, after this year at least.
Maybe
everything we're doing is kind of on an interim basis, but that'll help us establish a true usage rate for people that are going to have their units rented.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So in the meantime, 25 or 30 is fine. It sounds good with me.
Yeah.
Well, how many like 30 better than 25, or should we just leave it at 25? I mean,
it was 25.
25.
Let's stay with 25.
Sure. I agree.
That's fine with me. I just saw that and thought, Okay, late fees. I looked up some late fees, and our late fee looks pretty dang high. Kernville Glen Beach is $750. Beverly Beach does a percentage, but that ends up being like $3 or $4 for the first month's late, and only $18 for the second month's late. Panther Creek had a $750 late fee. Southwest Lincoln Water had a $3 late fee and a $5 fee if they have to go put a hanger on the door saying that you're going to shut it off. And someone else, I don't remember, had a $12.50 fee to deliver a door hanger shut off notice. So
well, if I don't pay a bill, the late fees that they charge are more significant than that, I believe. I don't think any of those seem to be very high to me, like they're a deterrent. That's what I thought we're trying to do, as a deterrent.
Right. I guess my only concern is, you know, we have probably the majority of our people are just kind of being lazy, and it's never been a big deal before, and they get, you know, they wait for 2 or 3 months and then they pay it. I'm concerned about putting a burden on someone who actually is having a financial problem, and, you know, we're going to end up hitting them. If they were to get to the shutoff, that's going to be an extra $195 they're going to owe. And if they were really struggling financially, it's, you know, that's a lot of money.
What if there was something in there that said that if you are struggling and you call before it's late and say so, then you can set up a later time to pay and the late fee is waived? Because
most utilities do that. Yeah.
Yes. They do. Yeah. So if you call and you say, I'm in trouble, but you're not late yet. You wait, you call before you're late and you say, I'm in trouble, I'm not going to be able to pay this pay period, but I can pay on X date. I don't know. That might be something to put in there. That way the people that are just sort of spacing it out, but could probably afford it, you know, tenfold, are just, they're getting it, and it sort of reminds them, oh yeah, next time I don't want to pay that extra whatever. But if somebody really is struggling that's a thought.
Yeah, I definitely agree to that. So late fee, last time we talked about a late fee, 30-day late, it's $15. 60-day late, it's another $30. So is everyone else okay with that?
Purpose is to get people to pay on time. And if we have some way that, like Grace suggested, and you suggested that people can work it out, I would go, I don't think it's unreasonable. Because its purpose isn't to make money. Its purpose is to get people to pay.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So in the state administrative rules for water utilities, they have a section called late payment charges, which kind of outlines, there's not an exact amount, but they are kind of limiting what you can do in some cases.
What are they saying? I mean, do they have a percentage that you can only charge?
No, it just as a water utility may include a late payment charge in its tariffs or statement that rates of rates that, and then it's got a whole list of things, how they can be applied, what the accounts are that can be applied to for past due balance, if the bill is not received by the date, may not be applied to a residential account with current time payment plan. For regulated water utilities, the commission determines the late payment rate based on a survey of prevailing market rates for late payment rates of commercial enterprises. The commission will blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it's under this Secretary of State administrative rules for utilities, and this is specifically for water utilities. So I don't know if that applies to us.
Under the PUC?
Well, this is from the Oregon Secretary of State. This is section 860-063-1430. And the heading for the, there's tons of, Public Utility Commission, chapter 860.
Yeah, we aren't covered under the PUC.
Okay, well, I didn't know. Yeah.
It's
water utilities.
I haven't seen anything under the statute that allows us to be a water district.
Is that because of our number of members or
people? No, the PUC only covers commercial. Any municipal utility is not covered under the PUC rules.
Okay, yeah. But they're charging for the use of water. I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, they probably have, it's good guidelines what they require.
So I'm fine with pulling it back to $10 if people think that's too much or whatever. Okay. I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I mean, I didn't. I think we were just kind of arbitrarily choosing numbers that seemed reasonable to us without comparing. So, I mean, if that's, right. You know, if we could do 10 and then an additional 20 or something, 20? 10.
Sure.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I am too.
It seems like all the
time. Yeah, so 30 altogether if they went that far.
Cost if they do. If we do have to shut them down too, right? Because that's going to cost us when we go and turn them off.
Right, but we're going to charge them $150 on top of that, yeah.
Yeah.
So that gets it down to 180 total if they're...
I don't know how much it cost us to go through that procedure with those guys.
Well, we've been averaging... lately about $56-$58 per visit to do a water off or water on. Last fall it was quite a bit higher, but they didn't have a local person and they charge us depending on who's going out there. So if a higher paid person went out there, it cost us a bunch, and that's what happened last fall. But
again,
and it depends on how long it takes them to find the corp stop too.
Yeah, right. The 150 is on and off, right? Or off and on, I should say.
Yeah, that's, if we're changing it from the 50 to the 75 each.
Each way, okay.
Each call. Okay.
So, I'm fine with whatever, yeah.
Okay.
Take it down a little bit, that's fine with me.
Me too.
Okay.
From also, a strictly revenue, from a strictly revenue standpoint, we average about $13,000 to $15,000 of prepaids per month. Those are people who are actually paying ahead of time.
Right.
So, as long as we don't get too far behind with the delinquents, we're kind of holding our own, I guess.
We are, although I think it looks bad on the books to have outstanding accounts receivable like that. Yeah, and I didn't put in the spreadsheet that much revenue because it's hard to tell. I mean, you know, last month we had 18 people that would have had at least a 1 month, you know, late fee. But I suspect after a few months, if that's, or maybe hopefully at the beginning, that's going to drop considerably.
Well, and if we get the online bill pay where people's bills are just being auto paid, that right. should knock that way back.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably going to be a crazy couple of months, but yeah, hopefully. So yeah, along with that, I sent out everybody information that I got from our bank. Did you guys have a chance to look at that?
In an email, yes.
I think Whitney has her hand up.
Whitney, you're
hey, okay. Sorry I wasn't there at the last meeting. I was sick, but I listened to it. And one thing with the ACH is we have offered that before. No one wanted to go for it because they didn't want to give up the control of when the check comes to us, when they cut it. So we had zero, I mean, we asked everybody and nobody had an interest in it at all.
I think so, our late fee might change that.
Perhaps, you know, the I'm other hoping, thing.
And it won't cost us a lot to try it.
Right. Well, the other thing too, is if, you know, if I've got more hours, then I've got more time, I can go to the bank more.
Right. But that you doesn't know, get the payments to us.
No, but.
Yeah. I'm not sure how that.
Well, yeah.
If
you get people to sign up for the auto debit, then they will know when their payment goes through because it will go through, like if we set it up so the batch runs for the 10th, it runs for the 10th.
Yeah, you choose right. the day and your auto pay comes out, right?
No, not this
No,
system.
Not with that.
Oh.
If you do it through bill pay through your bank, you set it up like Beth and I both have it set up in our bank account that on the 5th of the month, the check is sent to us to the district
right,
for the amount. And that's the majority of the checks that we get. But the ACH is, it's something I would be doing and I pull it out on the date that we choose. And that's what nobody was
we would set when it was gonna go. We would say right. it's gonna go on the 10th of the month.
Right.
If it's the and same thing you guys had before, it wouldn't work with my bank. So the AC is it this the same thing? Because
no, this is the thing. You sign a form. There was a form attached to that email, and you tell us your bank routing number and the account number, and it goes into a batch file that the bank runs.
Okay. All right.
So
send that out, Beth.
What?
When did you send that email out?
On the 18th, I think.
I missed it.
Yeah, it was the 18th.
Yeah.
I'll look back through, but I don't remember getting that one.
It's the thing that's been available for 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, but the problem is the people that handwrote the checks or that handwrite their checks every, you know, whenever they pay. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to give up their bank information to do anything online. Like that's right. part of the problem too, is that they don't want anything to do with online banking.
That's
fine.
There may be some of those, that's but it solves the problem with us not getting the check in the mail and not getting the bank check in the mail on time.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't have to do it.
But no, it will be optional.
A late fee. You know, that's what happens. You know?
Right. I'm hoping that will encourage them because that's the best for us because we do set the time. And so we can set it to go on the 10th or the 15th or whenever, you know,
right.
We want.
I'm just saying I don't, based on the past time when we've offered it, it was, I think there was one person that said they would try it.
But this is a better system, right? This is different.
This was only a couple of years ago.
Right. But I don't know where the thing went, because I would have signed up for it.
Yeah, I would have too.
Maybe the word didn't. I thought it
was emailed out maybe through the news.
It wasn't emailed. It might have been on bank statements, but since I never get a bank or a billing statement, I don't get statements because I pay ahead enough to not get them.
So yeah, I don't remember how it was sent. I mean, I think it was sent out in a letter, but they would have been, I think it was one that we included the gym.
We got lost in the mail.
I just got something back from December.
I know. It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
So really that was the most economical. There was that other pay station thing that was really expensive. And that was the cheap pay station one. I didn't even bother to cost out the other one. The thing about this ACH one, it's really not going to cost us any much to try it, except for a little of Whitney's time, because we have to get we have to enter the information in ourselves. And then, you know, the more customers that use it, it just adds a tiny bit more. So
you want me to put a note on the next billing, which would be June 10th, asking if anybody has interest?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, we need to, the board needs to really discuss this and see if we want to go with this.
Eventually we're going to have to do some kind of something we have to, this is then, the century that we're in, people should be able to pay.
Yeah. It's
by phone or by credit card or by some remote way other than the US.
Right.
I don't even own a checkbook. I have no physical checks. I've done everything online for years, but there's a lot of people that I can think of, quite a few people.
You don't want to dumb down the whole system, because some people, you know, eventually those people's children will take over and start paying their bills. And, you know, I mean,
that's right. And I say, why don't you sign up for auto pay? You know, what is this? You're handwriting a check.
It's fine. People can still handwrite checks. It won't stop that. People can do that all they want, you know?
Right. And then there is another option we can do with payments through Streamline, which is no setup fee or monthly cost if we set it so the customer pays. That was at the end of my my email there.
Okay, can I interrupt for a second? First of all, I'm kind of lost on why this isn't a board discussion and why we're being involved in it. And number two, the 50 years that we've been here, we've always taken our check up, put it in the box, and we've never had a problem.
Right. Well, we have a lot of people from out of town that have to either mail or do it through their bank. So,
there was that one incident a couple months ago where the checks were 2 weeks late and one never arrived.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
But that could be a good point, Mike.
Yeah. But that's rare. I mean, that's very rare.
Unless we're budgeting for something, you're right, Mike. Yeah.
Okay. I get sidetracked into all these technical details.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I was completely sidetracked on that one.
Okay, moving right along.
I'm going to ask about, are we looking at kind of all the ones that are changed first, and then we can go back and ask some other questions? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then I'll hold my question until later. Okay,
so that's pretty much it. The fee changes, and then that just affected some of the revenue totals. And then what else did I?
We lowered the. I guess we lowered the late fees, right?
Yeah, that'll change it slightly, but not much, because I didn't put, I don't have the late fees in here, do I? Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I had six of each. But that's just a wild guess because we have no real history of knowing, you know, in a year how many people will hit late.
Choose to be late.
Yeah. But we just need something in there.
My question related to the meter installation. So it's number 7040, section 7040 meter installation. And the question I had was that we had $37,000 that was going to go into meter installation, but I can't seem to add up the 1, 2, 3 and
I didn't actually. I should have just taken that out because I wasn't breaking it down that way. I was just going by the 37.
And I really appreciated that because I'm very happy about that. But maybe the 7,000 that's extra is going to go up into materials and supplies unless we have sufficient meters and all the equipment that's needed to install those already.
We could put it there. It really won't matter. It could go under materials and supplies or the contract labor. Right now, it's all contract.
And they bring their own supplies?
They will be once they get through our meters. We will be probably getting them through them.
Oh.
Because
okay,
if they're the ones installing them, then they are in charge of ordering the supplies.
Okay, that makes sense. Then we can change that.
So
30,000.
I just need to change this contract labor, and it's not for just excavation anymore.
Right.
It would be just contract labor.
Right.
And that should just say 37.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Which is the same as the total.
Are we contracting with Highland on that? Is that what that is?
Yes.
I'm curious if Dick ever checked on Highland on why the rates.
Yes, I did.
Why they increased so much.
The rates are over $100 an hour anymore for a plumber, but Highland isn't too.
So that makes Highland look a little better, huh?
Yeah. But there doesn't seem to be any interest at all by any of them that I've talked to. I've talked to, let's see, Lincoln, Newport, Rao. Just those three.
Right.
And they just said they're so busy, they really didn't want to get involved in that. I did tell them that they could furnish the meters or we could furnish them, but they would want to add a little markup on theirs. And they didn't seem to be even interested in that right now. It just seemed like it was too complicated a program for them.
Hope. And that is the Corp Stop crew, which Buck has joined.
Oh, good.
And between Buck and Craig, they're willing to go out and, look at the kitty. sorry. They're willing to go out and uncover Corp Stops and identify where the water lines are so that, and get at least the easier ones, the ones that don't require someone like Howery Industries to, you know, dig a huge deep hole. I mean, some of them are deep, but some of them aren't. And basically make them almost ready for Highland to come out and just hook up the meters.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you and Craig uncovered quite a few when you two went out.
Oh, Craig did for sure. Yeah.
You know. But then we want to say, well, maybe we ought to think not only about which ones are the easy ones, but also which ones are vacation rentals. Because if we really are thinking ahead of that, we could say, wow, we can target those. And then we have this kind of plan. We have a plan that we're going to put our money into the ones that have that we're going to need later.
I'm with you, Joni, on that.
So any other questions on...
I've got one more about meters. I'm just curious if anybody from the board, I ran down a couple of different, not plumbers that cost so much, but the one outfit, I don't have them in front of me, the names. There was one in Lincoln City, Thompson's, I think it was, and a company over in Independence that was interested in talking to somebody.
Well, Lisa was working on that, and Lisa contacted Thompson's, and they said, well, yeah, we can do the excavation, but we can't do the plumbing part of it.
Right. And how about the one in Independence? Because they had experience.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Lisa hasn't gotten back to us on that.
Well, just for future reference. Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're changing the late fees down. Anything else? Is everybody else comfortable with? Oh, I had an idea. Basically, what is a seasonal charge for seasonal turning the water off charge?
Mm-hmm.
In talking to Buck, that was, they've got it on the rate as $500 per service. Buck said the intention of that charge originally was to have it be the $500 plus a $50 off and a $50 on charge, so that it would be $600 equal to 1 year's worth of water. But the way it reads in the ordinances, it's like it's either 500 or 500 twice, depending on who reads it. We already had a board discussion on that. I thought, well, why don't we just make it $600 if we're raising fees at this time? You know, it's the thing to discourage. Someone says, well, I'm not going to be here for 6 months. I want to turn the water off.
Right.
Type thing. Why don't we just to $600?
I think that's exactly why it was proposed initially. I know from my own personal experience with this little A-frame that I've had for 30 years. That's what stopped me from having it shut off and on. It was the rather high fee, and I just assumed that was the water company's way to keep a steady revenue flow coming in.
Right.
And I think that philosophy seems to work then. It probably will still work fine now.
Right.
No reason not to raise it.
My idea was just to bump that up to 600.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Have you guys made a decision about bank fees when we get a bounced check, or like for the second time in a month, I got a check back saying that the account was closed. So we don't get a fee, but I think that we should charge if that happens.
Well, we decided not to because we don't get a fee. I mean, we're just trying to cover our costs, and it's a little time on your part, but not a whole lot.
Okay.
And just an idea. Because it used to be the banks did charge a depositor for a return check. And our bank and many others no longer do that. They quit doing that. So.
Do you get another check from them in the month?
The second one in a month that the account was closed, and so it was a bad check.
What did
same person?
No, different person.
So what I'm asking is, if you had the check that bounced, but then did they pay current that month, or did that go into
it
the
was for that? Yeah, it would have been a current check if it hadn't been a but closed. It didn't.
So what happened to the money? Did they pay it the next month?
I literally just got the second one.
If it happened in the same month, it would be charged as a late fee, wouldn't it? If they don't get the check in time, it's a late fee.
It will be if they don't get it in by the the next payment in by the 10th.
Lost their account. Yeah. So that's all we can do, I think.
So Whitney, do you then let them, do you then shoot off a message saying, hey, your check was bad?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how I do it. Or if or call them.
Okay.
I had one more thing, Beth, that that I was able to check on this week, and that's to contact the insurance carrier to find out about what how rentals of any kind, additional rentals, would affect the coverage. And it doesn't at all. The liability is so high for the whole thing. It's $5 million. And of course, that covers more than just the building up there. That covers the whole water system and tank farm. And their suggestion to just help mitigate this is that anybody who does want to rent it, whatever we charge, have them sign, furnish a certificate of brief. They sent a form to me. It's kind of a sample form that they recommend that people would sign on agreeing to provide us either a certificate of insurance or that they would sign that particular form agreeing to pay the first umpteen dollars of any claim. So as far as the insurance coverage is concerned, whatever we charge and however frequently we rent a room makes no difference to them.
Right. Okay, good.
We had that room.
Thanks, Dick.
All
right. That's the community center. So if somebody wants to rent it, then they sign a form and we're good.
So they can pay the deductible. Is that what you're saying, Dick? If they sign
they
pay the deductible.
They would either buy a policy for that particular event, and insurance companies do that. Just like the OLCC will issue a permit to serve liquor at places like that. But it costs some money. It costs about $100 every time you do that. So, but this insurance company wants is for someone who has a liability coverage, either personally or on their house, and if they're willing to go ahead and have their own insurance company either provide a certificate of insurance that's backed up by an existing policy, or to buy a policy, which doesn't seem like probably a real feasible idea, or just to go ahead and guarantee any losses and have it signed by the people that are in there. The whole idea is that the insurance company said that, or the lady said that they, of course, will cover it. If there's a loss, they'll do it. But in order to help their expenses with a lot of small losses, they recommend that we get somebody to sign an insurance certificate of insurance.
Right, and don't we have a deductible, Dick?
Not really. $250 is what the deductible is. The first $250 they have to pay.
The person in our coverage place or using the place, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, something
goes wrong.
So they wouldn't have to pay for the person's rest of his life because he slipped on the deck and hurt himself, in other words, right? They just have to pay the $250.
That's right. That would be us paying it or them paying it.
Okay.
But what they're suggesting is that we get a certificate of insurance from them so that they will cover a certain amount of liability up to whatever is reasonable. And then the insurance company we have now will go ahead and acknowledge that.
Okay.
But it can get complicated. Simple is really pretty hard.
Yeah, it sounds really complicated.
Yeah, it's the more you talk, the more complicated it sounds.
I have reservations about starting this now and building it into the budget with so many unknowns. Do we know how much a cleaning, having it professionally cleaned would be? I don't think we have an estimate. We need an estimate of what our costs would be, and how many times it would be used, and how much revenue that would generate. And then on a personal side, I have a problem with charging our community members who are already helping to support it by, you know, through their water payments. We maintain the building for our own use. And then we have these wonderful volunteers who are already signed up to help clean up the things so that a few people can use it this summer. And we have volunteers helping with the yard. And then we're going to ask them to pay to rent it. I don't know. To me, it's almost kind of slap in the face to our community, at least those who help to take care of it on a personal level.
Why don't I do one more thing? Why don't I ask them what a small policy would cost that would cover?
Yeah, but let's look at the fact that I have to get this, all the figures done tonight so it can go to the printer tomorrow. That because
right now
budget and for our rate increase notice, unless you want we spend another $150 to do a second mailing or a $300 advertisement in the paper for our budget things and do that in another couple of weeks, but I think it would be better to look at it maybe for next year.
That's fine. I'm not sure I agree with the thing that we shouldn't be charging for the use of the building when we've got what, almost $5,000 budgeted in this for upkeep. That building's not getting any younger, and I really don't see a problem if somebody's going to have a big get together there charging them $15 or $20. Or if there's a big gathering, like I said before, have a hat to put some money in. I mean, there's costs involved with everything.
Well, it's our office and our meeting room.
Your office is what, 15% or 20% of the building? It's when people use that, they're not using the office space. They're using the big space.
Right, which is a meeting room also.
I think that's an item for a meeting of the water board. You'll have to decide. It's your deal. But I think right now there's a lot of money in the budget for maintenance of that building that a couple hundred dollars to hire somebody to clean it once and then it's off and running isn't a lot. Yeah. But
I think that's what was in, that was part of the $5,000.
I think it was too. We put
that in last week so that we would have money available to get it cleaned and whatever, even though we didn't really know how much it was going to cost.
We have 2,000 in there, folks.
There's other costs involved, like the water heater.
You mean the utilities?
Right. That's part of that's part of taking care of that building.
Right. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. I'm fine with us looking at it, but not for this budget cycle because we don't have the information.
Right.
To put the numbers in time. Correctly.
We don't have the time.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I really
think we need to set up some standards, and probably an application form and who can use it. I think that was something that
I offered to do this last time, but I guess I was waiting. I wasn't waiting. I was thinking that we would talk about it in the next year at the board meeting.
I have some
information. Mm-hmm. And I would like to, but I just don't think that right now, I think we have things in the budget that will cover what we need to do immediately for, isn't there something planned already, a group that's going to be using the community center? Is that true? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have enough to cover our getting it cleaned and getting ready to go for that. And then we should talk about it in more detail. And I'll come to the meeting, the board meeting and talk about what I've learned. And give you information, but I just thought we were doing that in the next year.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
thanks, Joni.
Okay, so I'm gonna put some stuff together tonight with the latest figures. I think I now know how to fill out these budget documents that are the official ones. We have to use an official form for the budget hearing notice, which has never been quite filled out correctly. And I don't know if you want to, should we take bets and see if I can get it right this year, or there's bound to be something I'll miss. I don't know. I've got like 10 copies of past ones that were filled out and just like, so I've got a little spiel I've been working on to go out with, especially with the rate increase. And I don't know if you guys want to hear that tonight or not. Or actually, it's probably more of a board thing. And since we only have two of us from the board here, maybe it doesn't matter.
Are we ready to approve or not approve the budget? And then we might be able to hear or wait until.
Sure. Well, it can't.
I don't know. I just want to know what everybody thinks. So. Yeah. So.
I'll just wing it.
Well, I don't want to leave you in a lurch with that. I just thought that we could just do the job that we were supposed to do for you.
Right. Beth, you know that we can email that to the printer, right? You don't have to physically bring it to them.
I know. What's their turnaround time going to be?
It's quick. I mean, they've done stuff for us pretty quickly in the past. I'm Pioneer Printing.
Right, but we don't have another, meeting time to, you know, work on it. Because it has to be posted.
It has to go to them tomorrow. Friday. We could definitely, I think they would be able, unless they're super busy right now, I would assume they could turn it around pretty fast.
Right, but we have to get it in the envelopes.
Right, I'm going to go print. Yeah, I'm going to go print labels tomorrow and I can put them on the envelopes.
Right.
So those are all ready. We just have to.
When you get the labels and the envelopes, right?
Exactly.
Which I have to go get.
God, Beth.
But no, I was already planning on.
My printer's supposed to come tomorrow, so I don't want to miss that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I think if I go into town early, I can do it.
Perfect.
And get back before UPS gets here. Okay. So. Are we ready to vote then on this budget with a slight change in the late fee and an upping the seasonal turnoff? I think that's all we talked about changing, correct?
And then changing that one number in the meter installation section.
Right, but the total was correct.
Yeah, correct.
And I just wasn't even using that other number. So
okay.
But I'm gonna double check all the totals for the 10th time. Because I'm on version 10 of my spreadsheet. I save consecutive versions just in case I have to go back.
A good
job. So what we would need to do is have a motion for the budget committee to approve this budget as the recommended budget.
I so move.
And I would second the motion.
Okay. Is recommended budget. Let's see who would like to vote on that. Commissioner Hall is absent. Dick?
Yes.
I will vote yes. Ms. Gabriel?
Yes.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Mr. Hart? Mr. Hart is muted.
I thought you were contemplating.
Yes.
Okay, Ms. DeMott.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yeses. That means it is approved. And that would be all we officially have to do tonight. Congratulations.
I have an unofficial question.
Okay.
Did you ever find out who left the door open that one time a couple weeks ago? If it was Cody or somebody with Highland or?
Which door?
Well, the door on the shed up by the old tank.
Oh, no. You could call him if you want. I don't have Cody's number.
I was curious. I was just curious.
What were you saying, Stan?
What are we doing?
What were you thinking?
You're talking to me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just have a comment about Highland in general. I'm surprised that nobody really wanted to pin Highland down on why they are raising the rate so much. If you just want to let it slide, that's fine. But I would have preferred to have somebody come here and tell me why they're doing it. I mean, some of the rate increases were ridiculous.
That is still in progress. We still, Dick and Lisa need to somehow get at least a phone meeting with Silas at Highland. Because that is our contract for the next year, starting July 1.
Which affects the budget.
Yes, it does. Although I get at this point, we can just go with the higher estimate. If we don't need, if we get more work out of them for less, then our costs will be less and we'll have money, maybe more money to spend somewhere else, like on meters or something. But yeah, we have to go with what we have now because of the time constraints.
Yeah.
And I don't know how some of those places like have already approved their budgets, and I don't quite know how they figure it out. Okay. And then confirm the schedule. I have originally set the budget hearing for June 28th. It's another 30th. That gives us 2 whole days to fudge it because we're supposed to have it done by June 30th. So if that's okay with everybody, we'll say June 28th for the budget hearing.
Is that something that we need to do a mailing for?
That's what is going in this mailing.
Okay.
It, for 2 things, since we're raising rates and fees, and they're mostly fees, we have to do a 30-day notice.
Right.
And we can do a 30-day notice for the budget hearing.
Perfect.
I'll send it out email too, but that's the alternative to the $300 budget form going to the paper this year.
Right. So
we might as well combine it with this mailing.
Perfect.
I'm not going to be here on the 28th. Well, we won't be here for the last half of June, actually.
Canada.
So I don't know whether it's important that I be here or I might be able to get on internet in Canada.
Yeah, you might be able to. Well, it's the hearing where we present the budget that has been recommended by the committee, and we have a public hearing where they can speak, and then the board will either modify it and vote on it to pass it or pass it as recommended by the budget committee.
At that point, the budget committee really can't do anything anyway, right?
No, they're done. You're done tonight.
Okay.
But it would be nice if you could join us. We would like that.
See what happens.
Okay. With that, should we adjourn or is there anything else? Any other comments anybody wants? Whitney?
I was just going to say, it seemed like listening to the last week's meeting that you guys had a lot of office related questions and things. So I'm always open. You can ask me anything.
Need some food?
I'm sorry.
No, Craig asked me a question. Sorry.
Oh.
I'm gonna unplug while he asks me that question. I don't know okay. what he was asking. Hold on. Go ahead.
So anyway, that's all I was just gonna say is if you guys have any questions, let me know and I will be happy to answer anything.
Thanks, Courtney.
Of course.
Anything else? I think you know what I'll do is if you guys would like to read the message that I've got planned, I will email it out.
Yeah.
To the rate increase hearing or fee increase hearing. I'll email it out tonight.
Thank
and
you.
And if you like to do editing, wordsmithing, feel free to give me your suggestions.
Sounds good.
That's a good idea.
I'd like that. Thank you.
Okay. I will do that. And then
how many pages is the mailing going to be?
It's one paper, two-sided.
Okay. I will send Pioneer an email right now, letting them know that we've got this coming. And ask how fast they can turn that around.
Well,
you want 150 copies?
We probably ought to, we should do 160. Yeah.
160. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, any opposition to adjournment? Is there any other thing?
I just want to comment as one of the people that hangs out at the office once in a while. What a great job you've done this year, Beth, under really very difficult conditions and a lot of
absolutely
push. So you're my hero.
Me too.
Well, congrats.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate your help and all your valuable input. I think this is great that we have a very, very active budget committee, and it's not just a thing of rubber stamping what, you know, the board has and the budget officer has prepared. I think it's really valuable to have the community input, and I appreciate it. So with that, at 7:16, I will adjourn the meeting.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.